And all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
We thank God for the brethren who have led us in our devotion once more and again. It has been par excellent, singing the prayers, the reading of scripture, presiding over the Lord's table, allowing us to commune with the Lord, taking of the Lord's broken body and his shed blood, also giving back to God a small portion of that which he has blessed us with in our monetary offering. Certainly thank God for being members of the Church of Christ, having the truth of God, and being able to worship God as is laid out on the pages of inspiration without fear or molestation. So we thank God for that. Thank Jesus Christ for being better to us than we've ever been to ourselves, for loving us more than we've ever loved ourselves, and for doing for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. And we know that he left the glories of heaven, came down to the sin-stained world, was born in the flesh of a baby, grew up into the body of a man to live a perfect, sinless life, and to offer his life a ransom for many on the cross of Calvary. So we thank God for that. If you are with us this afternoon and this is your first time with us, may God bless you. We appreciate your attendance. As always, if there's something said or done that you don't quite understand, we pray that you will seek out those who are students of God's word and ask them a Bible question that they can give you a Bible answer. Again, we have thoroughly enjoyed being with you. All things must come to a close. I tell you, it's been some good preaching, ain't it?
Amen.
If you don't believe it, just ask me and I'll tell you. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul pens for us here to the church there at Rome. He says, I'm backing up to verse 14. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. On occasion, we discuss the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in fact, 100% of our teaching, I believe, or our preaching should include the gospel of Christ, because the gospel saves. And the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, but really what does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ came to earth, he died for the sins of mankind, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose again on a third day according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. This indeed is the gospel of Christ. But the gospel does several things for those who will obey and submit their will to Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God that saves us from his wrath. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, we see that there. But also 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 through 9, Paul says that Jesus Christ will take vengeance on them that don't know God and don't obey his glorious gospel. The gospel calls us into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the verse is 14. The gospel also breaks down the discriminative wall of partition, destroying the separation between Jew and Gentile, and making all equal at the foot of the cross of our Lord and in the church of our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15, also Ephesians 3, verse 6. And when God chose Israel to bring the Messiah into the world, he placed a hedge around them to keep them away from the immorality of the heathen nations. Now that hedge was the law of Moses. Now God has taken away that hedge and placed one around those who obey the gospel. And God has added those same ones who obey the gospel to his glorious church, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. This is all very good information, and actually is perfect information because it's contained and found within the perfect revealed will of God through his holy and divine word. And so all of this is perfect knowledge, and it's beneficial for us. But while we are the apple of God's eye, we are the apple of his eye. But God is not just concerned with the church of Christ. God is concerned about all those who are lost. And Christ didn't die for the saved. Jesus said that those who are well don't have a need of a physician. Luke 5:31. And so Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God's will is that all men everywhere will repent. God loves people. And so God has not designed the gospel to be received by osmosis. God has commissioned his children to preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. And we have a responsibility to the gospel. Let us discuss a few points to help us understand our responsibility to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 14, if you'll flip back there with me, we'll reference the text as we go through the lesson. But Paul says here, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Church, we are debtors to the gospel. We are indebted to the gospel, if you will. Now, to be indebted is to owe somebody something. When you are in debt, you owe something. Now, the debt may be a gratitude, it might be recognition, or the debt may be actual money. But Paul was indebted to the Greeks, a reference to the civilized. He was indebted to the barbarians, a reference to the uncivilized. Paul said, I'm also indebted to the wise, that is the educated, and I'm indebted to the unwise, that's the uneducated. Now, Paul didn't owe them money or anything of the sort. What Paul did owe them was gratitude and love. The Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise, they provided Paul with the opportunity to preach the gospel. They gave Paul a job. They gave Paul purpose. Paul's reason for being who he was, Jesus gave him the commission to say, he shall suffer many things for my name's sake. He will be an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul would preach the gospel. He found purpose in that. His whole life's mission after he encountered the resurrected Christ was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And church, it is love for God that compels us to love lost souls. We love because God first loved us. And Paul was motivated by love. He loved Israel so much that if it was possible for them to gain salvation, if he could be accursed from Christ, he would have done it. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, I tell you the truth, I don't lie, I bear this truth in all of my conscience, that if I could, and I'm paraphrasing this, if I could be a curse from Christ, that my brethren, my countrymen, would be able to be saved, I do it. Paul loved Israel so much that he would have been a curse from Jesus Christ if it would have meant their salvation. But guess what Paul understood? Paul understood that Israel's got to be saved the same way everybody else got to be saved. And that's through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 13:8, he said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So Paul said, we are not debted to anyone other than to love one another. Church, we owe that to the gospel. We owe that to the gospel. We have a responsibility to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are indebted to those outside of Christ because they present us with the opportunity to fulfill the commission that Christ gave us. There was a time in our lives when we were outside of Christ, but somebody somewhere took time to tell us a little bit about Jesus Christ and his glorious church. Somebody loved us enough to warn us about the detriment and devastation of hell. And we are indebted to those outside of Christ because they present us with the opportunity to show and tell the love of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 shows us that Gentiles are lost. Romans chapter 2 shows us Jews are lost. Romans chapter 3 tells everybody lost. It doesn't matter if you are young, if you are old, if you are rich, if you are poor, if you're black, white, male, female, right-handed, southpaw, tall, short, fat, skinny, pretty, ugly, don't matter. Everybody need the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are indebted to the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel. And that's what Paul was saying when he said the barbarians, the Greeks, the wise, the unwise. We must preach the gospel to every living creature. We cannot be discriminative with the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the president to the peasant, from Obama to Osama, everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel. We are indebted to it. We are debtors to the gospel. See, some folks, see, Christians, we just want to take and take and take from the gospel. Like, I found the Lord. You better find him. I'm saved. I'm good. Well, you owe the gospel something. See, we just want to take, we want to meet with us, and we want to hang around us, and we want to talk to us, and we want to condemn them. But we have a responsibility to the gospel. We are indebted to it. Paul said, I'm a debtor to preach the gospel. I'm indebted to the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise, not because I owe them money, but because they provide me an opportunity to preach the gospel. But secondly, we are have an opportunity to the gospel. We are to be ready to preach the gospel. When you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 15, and several other passages that speaks to us being prepared to share the gospel. We ought to be in a defense of the gospel, Philippians 1:17. We ought to be ready to always preach the gospel to every man that asks us to read the hope that's in us with meekness and fear, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. So the scriptures are replete with this idea of being ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 15, you'll notice that Paul said, so as much as is in me, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Paul was saying, I'm ready. There are several religious zealots who believe that they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone ever had a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon to knock on your door? Yes. Amen. Now, what about a member of the church? Not so many amens. Church, that's telling. That's telling. We can learn something then, but we will rebuke them. We will demonize them. We will condemn them. But we can learn something from them. They have all the zeal we should possess. We have the truth. We can learn something from the zeal that they have and what they believe. Paul's heart desire was for Israel to be saved, but it had to happen by a correct knowledge. When you look at Romans chapter 10, verse 2, Paul said, I bear Israel record. I bear them record that they do have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But let me ask you a question. Which one's worse? Which one's worse? Zeal without knowledge or knowledge without zeal? Which one of them worse? Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons have zeal not according to knowledge, but which one is worse? Zeal not according to knowledge or knowledge not according to zeal? Those who have the truth but no zeal or excitement about sharing the truth may find themselves in the same boat of those that have all the zeal, yet no truth. Church, we got to be like the prophet Jeremiah when he preached repentance to Judah. The Lord told Jeremiah to tell Judah they were going into Babylonian captivity. He said, you go, chapter 1, he had ordained him a prophet to the nations. And he told him, he said, I'm but a child. I can't do this. And God said, yeah, you can. You're going to go preach to Judah. You're going to preach your apprentice because they are going into captivity. So Jeremiah is tasked with this commission, of preaching repentance to a stiff-necked nation. And so Jeremiah finds something out as he preaches. The Lord tells Jeremiah, they're going into Babylonian captivity. So Jeremiah preaches this message, and he preaches it with zeal. He cries out, violence and spoil. So he cries this everywhere. It's going to happen. You know what happened to Jeremiah? They laughed at Jeremiah. They mocked Jeremiah. They even put a hit on his life. Jeremiah felt deceived by God, and Jeremiah went to God and said, you have deceived me. You have deceived me. I was going to go preach this message. I'm thinking folk going to change their hearts and minds. Amen, preacher. Folks supposed to change, don't they, when you preach?
Yeah.
That's what Jeremiah thought.
Yes.
The Lord said, don't preach, and I'm preaching. I'm thinking folks gonna change. Nobody repent.
Oh, wow.
And so Jeremiah comes to this thing, so he goes to God and says, you have deceived me. I'm in derision daily. These folk laughing at me. They're mocking me. They're trying to hurt me. And then look what Jeremiah says in chapter 20, verse 9. He said, then I said, he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. What are you saying, Jeremiah? I'm saying I said I was not going to preach it no more, but I couldn't. The word of God was so ingrained in me that I had to preach it even though I didn't want to preach it. Jeremiah said, I still have to have my zeal. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Paul was just like a dog waiting on his master to say, get him, boy. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. He was anxious and eager to preach the gospel. He was excited about sharing the joy of salvation with those who are outside of Jesus Christ. Church, we got to be ready to preach the gospel at all times. Paul told Timothy to preach the gospel. You be instant, in season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. You know, Brother Keeble said, you preach it when they want it. You preach it when they don't want it. You preach it when the sun's shining. You preach it when it's raining outside. You preach the gospel. Folk ain't gonna want it all the time. Actually, majority of the time they ain't gonna want it. Darkness don't like light. That's what the darkness and the light shone in darkness, John chapter 1 verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yeah, darkness don't like light. Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. But Brother Garner, I don't know enough. Well, does anybody know enough? Does anybody know it all? Paul didn't even claim to know it all as an inspired apostle. Paul didn't even claim to know it all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, if I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't come to you as some scholar and some doctrine of theology. I didn't come with you claiming to know it all. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's funny how there's a whole lot of stuff we don't know. But that don't stop us from telling somebody else. We'll pass on a rumor. Amen. That hadn't been confirmed. Don't know nothing about it, but we clam up when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again that we might have eternal life. And to be saved, we've got to obey that gospel and be added to the church. The final consummating act is baptism. That was easy. That's the gospel. You just preached it. It's simple. So first, we are debtors to preach the gospel. But second, we got to be ready to preach the gospel because we have a responsibility to it. And finally, and lastly, we can't be ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we look at our responsibility to the gospel, we notice that if we're ashamed of the gospel, we won't be indebted to it, nor will we be eager to preach it. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is God's power to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, wherein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, he's referencing the Old Testament. He said that God, the gospel, reveals the Old Testament. We've heard this before. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is Old Testament revealed. And so what Paul's saying is, the wherein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, law of Moses, to faith, the Christian dispensation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what the entire Bible is about. Every book you read in the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, every book you read, you should see this theme. The salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Every book. Every book has that thing. The salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Church, we can't be ashamed of the gospel, because if we are, we won't be ready, eager, or willing to preach it. With all the magnificent blessings that the gospel supplies, why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That escapes me. I don't understand that. The gospel is the power and wisdom of God. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. And hopefully we understand that the gospel is still God's power to save. The gospel still produces faith in the minds of those that hear the truth. The gospel still reveals God's righteousness and salvation. The gospel is still needed because people are still dying every day in their sins. The gospel is still needed to be preached. People still need a Savior to deliver them from the bondage of sin. The gospel still needs to be preached to every creature. And when you're not ashamed of the gospel, you will feel a sense of obligation to the gospel, because by it, you were saved. You gospel preachers, man, we want everybody to think and feel about God the same way we do. We want it so bad, we want every seat in the house to feel and love God the same way we do. Because we feel a responsibility to the gospel. We feel indebted to it. We feel like we owe God something. You can never pay God back for what he did for you, because salvation is not merited. But we should have a life indicative of one who seems like they're trying to pay God back. Though you never can. When you're not ashamed of the gospel, you'll feel a sense of obligation to it. We ought to praise God daily for the salvation that has been revealed to all men. Paul was a man of rejoicing. In Philippians 4:4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, I say rejoice." When you feel an obligation to God, the desire to repay him consumes you. I believe Paul felt that same way in Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." If we're not ashamed of the gospel, we will prepare ourselves and make ready for those who question our beliefs that God exists and that Jesus is his Son. Folk who are not ashamed will share the gospel at every opportunity. If they don't know something about God, they don't just sit there content in their ignorance, but they seek to desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Amen. The one who's not ashamed will find a way to spread the gospel. They may not be able to go, but they'll send. They may not be able to teach, but they'll invite. They may not know the answer, but they'll get back with you. Church, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is for us. I mean, I'm in the house on this sermon. I'm in the house. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, no, Brother Gone, I come to every service. I come to every Bible study. But what we got to understand is that we got to get our faith out of the building. We got to get our faith out of the building into the world. This time right here, you do know the purpose of the church, the work of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This time is for us. When we meet on the Lord's Day and we meet for Bible class and we meet for worship, that's for us. That's not for the world. That's for us. That's for our perfecting. For the perfecting of the saints, then for the work of the ministry. So we've been perfected here, now we take it out into the world. We take it out into the world and we evangelize and we minister to people. We serve people, show them the love of God for an edifying the body. So that means that once we teach somebody and show them how we've been perfected, we bring them back with us. We edify, we build up the body of Christ. We perfect the saints, we work the ministry, and we edify the body of Christ. That is the work of the church. So this time is for us. The time that we gather here and we're being perfected by God's word, that's for us. You remember what Jesus said in Great Commission, and the lesson will be yours. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, he said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth." He says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lord, I'm with you all the way into the end of the world. Amen." Now, the first teaching is when you teach folk the gospel. Therefore, teach all nations. Baptize them so that teaching shall lead them into obedience. He said, then teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So then that's when you teach them the end of all stuff. See, that's why I don't have conversation with folk who want to try to, who are not members of the Lord's church, but they want to attack us. So they want to attack instrumental music, they want to attack women preachers, they want to attack communion, they want to attack everything we do, and I don't discuss that with them. You know why? Because that's in the wall stuff. I could go to any Baptist church today, we can take all the instruments out of the church, and they still going to hell. You want me to tell you why? Because they haven't obeyed the gospel. You take every instrument out of the building, they still go straight to hell. Ain't obeyed the gospel. That's in the wall stuff. Non-instrumental music, women preachers, communion, offering, all that's in the wall stuff. That's for us. It ain't for the world. So when we teach them the gospel and we bring them into the us, that's when we teach them, oh, this is why we don't use instruments. This is why we don't have women preachers. This is why, this is why, this is why. Church, I put the horse before the cart. I teach Jesus then. I can teach you all that other stuff, but I'm not going to sit there and have a conversation with you and you're not willing to obey the gospel. If I can't teach you the gospel, because that's what I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to have a conversation about instruments. I'll have a conversation about this gospel that you haven't obeyed. Oh, I had that conversation all day long. Church, if we're ashamed of the gospel, we won't be indebted to it. This time is for the perfecting of the saints. And you're not ashamed. If you're not sharing the gospel, you may be ashamed and not even know it. And perhaps you felt embarrassed to be identified as a Christian. One thing we got to be conscious of is that sinners can tell when you're ashamed of your faith. Folk can tell. They can look through it. Your coworkers, your associates, they know when you're hiding your feelings and your thoughts. They know it. You're not fooling nobody. You have no reason to be ashamed of the gospel because it's the same gospel. It's the same one Jesus heard, as we learned this morning. You can't be ashamed of that. Jesus got excited about it. You ought to be excited about sharing it with somebody. Paul felt no shame in the message of Christ because it is the power of God to transform lives. There's no greater joy to know that you are part of somebody's salvation. There's no greater joy than that. May we never be ashamed of the gospel, because our Lord said if we're ashamed of him, then he'll be ashamed of us. You know, in 1 Peter 4:16, in your New Testament, you'll find the word Christian three times in your New Testament. Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, 1 Peter 4:16. And in those scriptures, you will find the term Christian. Now, this term is not an adjective. It doesn't qualify anything. You know, we talk about Christian schools and Christian families and Christian houses. The word was never used that way in God's word. It is a noun. It's not an adjective. It doesn't qualify anything, describe nothing. A Christian is something, and that's us, those who have been obedient to the gospel. But you will find that word three times in your New Testament. But when you look in 1 Peter 4:16, the Bible says, "Yet if any man shall be troubled as a Christian, if he suffer, persecuted, troubled as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf." You know, you can suffer some stuff because your own actions. Peter said, "Let no man suffer as an evildoer." Sometimes folks don't understand why they got trouble in their life. Well, you brought it on. But then there are times when you suffer for righteousness and say, yeah, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So Paul told Timothy, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on his behalf. Are you a Christian? You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. The remitting, the removal, the washing away of your sins. That's what baptism does. I don't know how it happens. If you make it there, you can ask the Lord on that day. I don't know how the water does it. I just know it does it, and I believe it does it. I don't know how the blood is in it. I believe the blood's in it. All the intricacies, I can't. That's above my pay grade. You can ask the Lord if you make it. Amen. But like as I stated this weekend, baptism, you know, it's amazing that we get accused of having salvation by works. But when you look, and they always attack baptism. But if you look at baptism is the only thing that you don't do. You have to hear. Hearing is a work. You have to believe. Believing is a work. You have to repent. Repentance is a work. You have to confess. Confession is a work. But then you have to be baptized. That's the only one you don't do. Somebody else does it to you.
Think about that. Baptism is an obedient response to God's grace. That's what it is. And it's essential because God said it is.
Yes, sir.
God said it is.
Amen.
Become a member of the Lord's church the same way the first century Christians did. If you want to become what they became, you're going to have to do what they did. And they obeyed the simple, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't obey this accursed gospel. Galatians chapter 1, folk preaching 6-9. Nobody preach any other gospel other than what you've heard from the apostles from the inspired word, let him be accursed. Even if an angel preaches it, he should be accursed, condemned, anathema. Let the Lord add you to the only church you can read about in this Bible, his bride, his glorious church, the church of Christ. I love the church. If you have not gotten that this weekend, I love the Church of Christ.
Amen.
I love the church. I'm telling you, I was Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist living, and thank God not Baptist dead. Lord, we'll add you to the only church you read about in the Bible, the church that belongs to Christ. If you remember the Lord's church, found yourself a gift of distance away from God, you can repent of those things, confess them, ask the church to pray for you. If you just need some prayer through these trying times, you can also make that known as the other stand and the same.
Amen.